Good to see everybody. Hope everyone had a nice Shabbos. Today we're going to be starting the sugi here on Ches Oma Beis. The Gemara here brings Rav Levi Mishum Rabbi Meir, who discusses the halacha in terms of the Shtei Sukkos Hayotzrim. What are the Shtei Sukkos Hayotzrim? So Rashi explains that it was the practice for these people selling pottery, to these clay cheres, to go around and sell their wares. And they would set up this double tent with an inner hut and an outer hut. The inner hut, which is called the Panimis, is where they would live. They lived in the inner hut. And the outer hut, which is called the Chitzona, is where they would sell their wares. And the issue that comes up in our Gemara is, what's the status of these two huts in terms of Hilchas Sukkah? If you would sit in them on Sukkahs, would they be a good kosher Sukkah? And in terms of Hilchas Mezuzah, are they chayiv in Mezuzah or not? So those are the two issues that come up in this Gemara, and we're going to break it down into 2 days. So today we're going to focus on the sukkah aspect to the sugya, and then tomorrow we're going to focus in on the mezuzah aspect to the sugya. So that's the agenda for today and tomorrow. Okay. So Hilchas Sukkah. So what's the status of these two sukkos in terms of Hilchas Sukkah? This double hut, if a person, assuming obviously that's all, they're all built in a kosher manner, where it meets all the dimensional requirements of Hilchas Sukkah. So the question becomes, would it be kosher for a sukkah or not? It has chach kosher, it has all the right dimensions, etc. Can you use it as a sukkah or not? So it comes out of the Gemara, it's clear from the Gemara and the Rishonim, that in terms of the chitzona, there are going to be no issues. There's no reason why the outer hut cannot be used as a sukkah on sukkahs. It's perfectly fine. The issue is going to be the pnimis, the inner hut. So here we're going to have a serious discussion as to the status of this inner hut in terms of Hilchas Sukkah. Can you use it as a sukkah on sukkahs or not? So that's really going to be the discussion for today's shir. Now, if you do look at the Gemara, the simple reading of the Gemara would indicate that the Pnimius is not going to be a good sukkah. The Gemara says Pnimius ain't a sukkah. Sounds like it's not a good sukkah, but we're going to see that it's not so pashut. So that's the agenda for today. What is the status of this inner hut in terms of Hilchas Sukkah? So we're going to have three basic approaches in the Rishonim. The first approach will be the approach of the Ran. The second approach will be the approach of Rashi. And the third approach will be the approach of the Deya brought down by the Ritva. What is the status of the Pnimis in terms of Hilchas Sukkah? Okay, so let's start with the Shita of the Ran, approach number one. If you look at the Ran, so the Ran has different Lishonos, but we're just going to bottom line the critical point of the Ran. The Ran tells us that this Pnimis is indeed going to be a Pasul Sukkah, that this inner hut, even if you have Kosher Shach up above and you have all the basic dimensional requirements, it's still going to be Pasul as a Sukkah. Why, says the Ran? Because of the Psul Bias. The Psul Bias, we once referenced it quickly, but now we'll spell it out a little bit more. The Psul Bias comes up in the Gemara on Daf Yadal and Medalev, and in the Gemara and in the Mishnah on Tesfav and Medalev. The halacha is that there's a special Gzeres HaKasov that a bayis shel koyimos hashana cannot be used as a sukkah. A house, a structure that's used as a house to live in all year long, cannot be used as a sukkah. That is a gzeres hakasav. Rashi on Yidal Manal brings a gzeres hakasav to point this out, that a bayis shel koyimos hashana, a structure that you live in all year long, cannot be used as a sukkah. So therefore, says the Ran, that's going to be why this inner hut is possible as a sukkah. This pnimis, as we pointed out from the outset, is where this person lives. He sets it up for a season or some long period of time, and he lives in this inner hut. Therefore, it's going to acquire the status of a house, of a bayis, and therefore it's possible, based on this general psul, to make a bayis into a sukkah. That is the Ran's basic explanation here in approach number one for what's the status of this inner hut. It's going to be possible based on the psul bayis. And then the Ran elaborates a little bit more, and he explains to us, why is it that a bayis is possible? Why can't you use a house as a sukkah? It has kasher shach, it has walls. What's the problem with using a bayis as a sukkah? Says the Ran, the issue is from a Gemara here later on Ches Amabez at the bottom of the Yamid, later on in the Yamid. The Gemara on Ches Amabez later on points out a very important regulation in terms of the shach of the sukkah. And that is that when you put the shach onto the sukkah, it's only going to be kasher if you put it up l'shem tzel, which Rov Rishonim explained means that when you put the shach up into the sukkah, it's only kosher if you put it up with the intention that it provide shade, l'shem tzel, for the purpose of shade. If you put the schach up for any ulterior motive, any other reason than to provide shade, then the sukkah is going to be pasul. So for example, the case in the Gemara is, let's say a person puts up a schach on a sukkah, and he does it for tznias, for privacy. You don't want people peeking into your sukkah, so you put up the roofing for the sake of tznias. Says the Gemara, that's going to be puzzle, because he didn't put it up l'shem tzil, for the sake of shade, and that's going to disqualify the sukkah. Says the Ran, that is why a bias is puzzle as a sukkah. Why can't you use a house as a sukkah? The issue is this requirement for l'shem tzil, that when you put a roof up on your house, so you put a roof up for a whole series of reasons, there are a whole host of reasons why you put up a roof on your house. Now, true, one reason you're going to put a roof up on your house is for shade, l'shem tzil, but there are a lot of other reasons why you put a roof up on your house. You put it up for tznias, for privacy, to block the rain, to keep the bugs out. There are a lot of reasons why you put a roof up on your house. Therefore, says the Ran, this is going to be lacking in the requirement for l'shem tzil. The need to put up tzchach l'shem tzil requires that you exclusively put up the roofing for the sake of shade. If you put it up for a whole series of reasons, even though one of them is for shade, but there are 10 other reasons, that's not going to satisfy the requirement of l'shem tzil to have shade, and therefore, that's why a bias is disqualified. So that is why a house cannot be used as a sukkah, and that is why the inner hut here cannot be used as a sukkah, because once again, this inner hut was concocted, was built to serve as a house, to live in. And so this is also going to suffer from this psul of a bias, the issue being that, according to the Ran, when you put up the roofing, since you put it up for 10 different reasons, that doesn't satisfy the requirement of l'shem tzil. So that is approach number one, Shita Saran. What's the status of the Pnimius Linen Hilchas Sukkah? It's puzzle based on the psul bias, and we explained why is a bias puzzle according to the Ran. Says the Ran, because of this requirement of l'shem tzil, that you don't put up the roofing exclusively for shade, you put it up for other reasons as well, that's going to be a problem. That's the Shita of the Ran. Any questions? Okay, fine. So let's continue on. So now we come to our second approach, which is the Shita of Rashi. Rashi also says that the Pnimis, this inner hut, is going to be puzzle as a sukkah, cannot be used as a sukkah, which once again is the Pashup Shad in the Gemara, the simple interpretation of the Gemara. When the Gemara says Pnimis ain't a sukkah, so the simple reading is that it's saying that the Pnimis is not a good sukkah for sukkahs. And so Rashi is also working with the Pashup Shad in the Gemara. But Rashi gives a different explanation for why it is that you cannot use the inner hut as a sukkah. Rashi says that the issue is like this, that since he lives in this inner hut, he's using it throughout the season or for however long, for many months, he's living in this inner hut. So if you try to use it on sukkahs as a sukkah, it's not going to be discernible and niker that he's using it for the mitzvah of sukkah. Because, you know, for the last 5 months, he's using this inner hut to live in. So when he now enters it on sukkahs to use it for the sake of the mitzvah of sukkah, it's not going to be discernible that he's using it for the sake of the mitzvah of sukkah. It's going to look like he's just continuing his typical activity of living in the inner hut. And that's going to apparently disqualify this pnimius from being used as a sukkah. So that is Rashi's explanation for what's the status of the pnimius as a sukkah. It says Rashi that the issue is it's not nikar and discernible that using it as a sukkah, and that's apparently a problem. And the big question becomes to figure out what is the pshat in Rashi? Where is this new disqualification coming from? Rashi seems to be presenting us with a brand new psul in terms of hilchas sukkah. And the question becomes, where is this coming from? Where is this deficiency of not being discernible when you use your sukkah? Where is it coming from? And what happened to the psul bias? The Ran gave us a very nice explanation. It's on the books, the psul bias, that you can't use a house as a sukkah. So where does the psul bias fit into the shita of Rashi? Is he arguing on the Ran? Is he not arguing on the Ran? What happened to the psul bias in terms of why is Rashi giving us a new explanation for why the inner sukkah is no good when we already have on the books an issue of the psul bias? So those are the issues in Shita's Rashi. Any questions before we continue? Okay, fine. So I was once discussing this with Rabbi Soloveitchik, and he had a very beautiful explanation of this Rashi. It's based on a sugya later on. He developed the yesod out of a sugya later on, Daf Memches Amud Aleph. So we're going to move over now for a few minutes to the sugya Memches Amud Aleph to bring out a yesod, which we're going to use to explain what's going on in Rashi. It starts with the Mishnah, second Mishnah on Memches Amud Aleph. The Mishnah there tells us very interesting halacha. The din is that at the end of Sukkot, on the seventh day of Sukkot, on Hoshana Rabbah, when you're done using the Sukkah, so you're supposed to bring your Kalim in from the Sukkah into the house. You know, for the 7 days of Sukkot, the Kalim are supposed to be in the Sukkah. You're supposed to make your Sukkah like your home. And after Sukkot is done, after the 7 days of Sukkot are done, you're done with the mitzvah, on Hoshana Rabbah, so says the Mishnah, you should bring the Kalim from the Sukkah back into the house. And this is meant to be a display of Kavod Yontov, to display honor for the second days of Yontov for Shmini Atzeres. So by starting to prepare and bring the Kalim in from the Sukkah into the house, that's a way of displaying Kavod Yontov. That's what the Mishnah says. Now the question becomes, how does this halacha play out in Chutz La'aretz? Because in Chutz La'aretz, so our last day of using the Sukkah is not on day 7 of Hoshana Rabbah, our last day of using the Sukkah is on day 8 of Shmini Atzeres. So the Mishnah is telling us on Yom Tov Achron, on the 7th day, in Eretz Yisrael, on Hoshana Rabbah, you bring your Kalim in from the Sukkah into the house. What about in Chutz La'aretz, where we're using the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres? How does this halacha play out in Chutz La'aretz? So if you look at the Hagos Ashri and the Tiferes Yisrael from the Mar Makomos, which were beautifully bracketed off by Yair Adler, so the Hagos Ashri and the Tiferes Yisrael both address this issue. They both point out like this, that in Chutz La'aretz, so this halacha will play out on day 8, that on Shmini Atzeres, after you're done using the Sukkah, so then you're going to bring the Kalim in from the Sukkah into the house. So this halacha simply plays out on day 8 after you're done using the Sukkah. And then the Hagos Ashri throws in one more point. He says, but be careful, when you bring your Kalim in from the Sukkah into the house on Shmini Atzeres, don't arrange the tables. Don't set the tables for Simchas Torah, for the next day, day 9, Simchas Torah, because there's an Isser of Hachana. You're not allowed to prepare from Yanta from one day to the next. So don't arrange the tables, because if you're preparing from Shmini Atzeres to Simchas Torah, well, that's an Isser of Hachana. So make sure not to set the table when you bring the Kalim into the house. So that was all the Shaka V'Tariyah, just some basic facts here on Nath Mem Ches Amid Aleph. We have this interesting halacha, typically in Eretz Yisrael on day 7, you bring your Kalim in from the Sukkah. In Chutz La'aretz on day 8, says the Hagos Ashri and the Tiferes Yisrael, bring your Kalim in on Shmini Atzeres. But don't set the table in the house because you can't prepare from one day to the next. Now, can anyone see a basic logical difficulty with this halacha in the Hagos Ashri and the Tiferes Yisrael? There seems to be an internal contradiction in the two statements of the Hagos Ashri. Anyone see a problem with this?
Sounds like in Eretz Yisrael, you would be able to set it up.
Okay, so that's a good point. In Eretz Yisrael, it's not a problem because this is taking place on day 7 on Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah is like Chol Moed. There's no problem of Hachana. That was a good point. I'm happy you brought that out. In Eretz Yisrael, there are no issues Bichlal because of Hachana. So this whole discussion is taking place on day 8. Bring the Kalim in. Don't set the table, because if you set the table, it's an issue of Achana. And the question becomes, there's a certain logical difficulty, there's a stira minei obey in the Gaza left.
It's also not Kavod Yontov.
Okay, therefore what?
If you just bring it in, like leave it as a mess and not set it up, that's also that Kavod Yontov is actually set up.
Okay, so that's half of the stira. I mean, there are two ways of expressing it. That's one of expressing it. Lev, okay. You want to finish it off?
Why are we allowing the Kalim to go in?
Exactly. That's the Kasha. Yehuda and Lev just said the two sides of the same coin. The issue becomes that, and so this question is interesting. In the Tiferes Yisrael, after he writes, there's like a brackets at the end. I don't know who wrote that, but we call it the Magia, the commentator. Someone made a comment on the Tiferes Yisrael. You know, it's not me or you. We don't make it into the printing. So obviously it's Talmud Chacham. I don't know who wrote it, but whoever wrote that, he asked this Kasha, Lev and Yehuda's Kasha. The question's like this. The question becomes, how could the Hagos Ashri and Tiferes Yisrael be telling us that in Chutz La'aretz on day 8, bring the Kalim from the Sukkah into the house? What happened to the Isra of Hachana? We just got through saying that you can't prepare from Yonta from one day to the next. In Eretz Yisrael, there's no issue B'chal. This is all taking place on day 7. That's like Chol Moed. Chol Moed, you can do whatever you want. But on day 8 in Chutz La'aretz, so the Hagos Ashri and Tiferes Yisrael are telling us, bring the Kalim in on Shmini Atzeres on day 8, after you're done with the Sukkah. But wait a second, what happened to the Isra of Hachana? You can't prepare from one day to the next. And it seems to be a stira minei obey. There's an internal contradiction in the Hagos Ashri. Because first he makes two comments back to back. Statement number one, bring the Kalim in on day 8. Statement number two, don't set the table in the house. Why can't you set the table in the house? Because of Hachana. Well, if you can't set the table in the house because of Hachana, well then how can you bring the Kalim into the house in the first place? What happened to the Isra of Hachana? And if you're going to tell me that Kavod Yontov somehow overrides, like Yehuda pointed out, maybe you could bring the Kalim in because of Kavod Yontov. Well, then for Kavod Yontov, let me arrange the tables. So I'm a man of shach. There seems to be an internal contradiction in the Hagos Ashri. Why is he telling me that I can bring the Kalim in, but I can't set the table? If Kavod Yontov overrides, let me set the table. If Kavod Yontov doesn't override, then don't let me bring the Kalim in the first place. That is the kasha on the Hagos Ashri and the Tiferes Yisrael. And anyone have any problems with the kasha?
Can you repeat it one more time?
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 100%. That the Mishnah tells us that in Eretz Yisrael, so on day 7, on Hashanah Rabbah, we bring the kelim into the sukkah, in from the sukkah into the house. In order to prepare for the second days, it's a way of displaying Kavod Yontov. And there are no issues with that, because Hoshana Rabbah is the last day you use the sukkah. Hoshana Rabbah is like Chol HaMoed. You're allowed to prepare from Chol HaMoed to Yontov. In Eretz Yisrael, life is perfectly fine. Okay, barring COVID and stuff like that, but life is perfectly fine. But in Chutz La'aretz, the issue becomes as follows. The Gaos HaShri makes two statements. He points out, in Chutz La'aretz, so this halacha plays out on day 8. In Shmini Atzeres, when you're done with the sukkah, bring the kelim in. Bring the kelim in from the house. But then he throws in, don't set the table, though. Don't set the table because you can't prepare from one day to the next. So the question becomes, well, if you can't prepare from one day to the next, then how am I bringing the kelim in from the sukkah? The whole point of bringing the kelim, l'chora, is to prepare for the next days. So if you're not allowed to prepare, if there's an isser of hachana from one day of Yontav to the next, and that's why you can't set the table, then how am I bringing the kelim in from the sukkah? And if you want to tell me that kavod Yontav is somehow docha, that since it's a display of kavod for Simchas Torah, that's why you let you bring the kelim in, as Yehuda pointed out, well then, let me set the table for kavod Yontav. If I have a big mess in the house, that's also not kavod Yontav. So there's an internal contradiction in the Hagos HaShri, Mamanam Shach. Does kavod Yontav override? Let me do both. If it doesn't override, let me do neither. So how do we resolve this theory here in the Hagos HaShri? Any other clarification questions? Okay. So Savichik, he had a brilliant explanation for this Hagos HaShri. I'm not going to open this up to the floor because I don't think this one's gettable. I open it up when I think it's gettable, but I don't think this one is. Okay, that's why he's the Magid Shir, I guess, and you know, we're the Talmidim. Okay, so Savichik, he didn't even say this over in Shir last time. He told this to me in our discussion. It was a very brilliant explanation. He said like this. In order to explain what's going on in this Hagos HaShri, so we're going to take a step back and we're going to develop an insight pertaining to the Maisa HaMitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah, the activity that you do in performing the mitzvah of Sukkah, you know, the mitzvah of sitting in the Sukkah for 7 days, what we call the Maisa HaMitzvah Yeshiva B'Sukkah, just to sound fancy. So we're going to develop an insight into the Maisa HaMitzvah, which we're going to use to explain this Hagos HaShri, and ultimately go back to our Rashi and Daf Ches to explain Rashi. So Rishavichik said like this. In the past, we've analyzed different components of this Maisa Mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah. We've highlighted different aspects of the activity of sitting in a sukkah. And right now, we're going to focus on one particular aspect, and we're going to develop it a little bit. And that is in terms of the time frame. We know that the Mitzvah Yeshiva B'Sukkah runs for 7 days. It's a Shivas Yomim Teshu B'Sukkos, B'Sukkos Teshu Shivas Yomim, that we sit in the sukkah for 7 days. And, you know, that gives a certain arai, temporary quality to the Mitzvah Yeshiva B'Sukkah that it runs for 7 days and it stops after 7 days. Now, you could just treat that as a very practical reality. That is it's a very nice observation. It's true. It runs for 7 days. Pesach runs for 7 days. You know, Shavuos is a day or two. And Sukkot runs for 7 days. It's a very nice observation. Perhaps it has no halachic significance. But to explain what's going on in our sugya and a lot of issues that come up in Sechas Sukkah, we're gonna give a different explanation. We're gonna give it a different interpretation of this observation, and that is we're gonna say that it's not just a practical point that the mitzvah of sukkah runs for 7 days. That's gonna characterize the Maisa Mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah. We're gonna characterize it and we're going to typify it. We're gonna view it as a 7-day affair and no more. We want it to be characterized as an act of using the sukkah for 7 days and no more. It's a 7-day affair and no more. And the idea is because we want to distinguish between the way you use the sukkah on sukkahs and the way you use your house all year long. If we just view the use of the sukkah as a continuation of the way you use your house, that's going to tarnish and diminish the mitzvah, your performance of the mitzvah Yeshiva B'Sukkah. So we're going to want to characterize it as a 7-day affair and no more. It's not just it happens to run for 7 days. It does happen to run for 7 days. But we're going to show now that we're going to characterize, we want to view the Maisa Mitzvah as being a 7-day affair and no more. That's the Yisod that we're going to say. And we're now going to show applications of this Yisod. The first application is going to be in terms of these Hagos HaShri. So let's come back to this Hagos HaShri and reassess what's going on. Hagos HaShri is telling us that on day 8, on Shemini Atzeres, when you're done with the Sukkah, bring the kelim in from the sukkah into the house. And the question became, what happened to the Isser of Achana? You can't prepare on Yontif from one day to the next, how could he bring the kelim in from the sukkah into the house? So Rabbi Soloveitchik said like this. There are actually going to be two purposes. There are two points of halachic significance in bringing the kelim from the sukkah into the house. Purpose number one, one purpose of bringing kelim in from the sukkah is, as the Mishnah itself spells out, for kavod yontif. There's a certain display of kavod for the second days of yontif, for Simchas Torah, let's say. When you bring the kelim in from the sukkah into the house, you start getting ready for Simchas Torah. That displays kavod yontif. That's one purpose in bringing the kelim in from the sukkah into the house. But we're going to say that there's really a second significance, there's a second purpose in bringing the kelim in from the sukkah into the house. And that is that by bringing the kelim in from the sukkah, that's going to enhance, retroactively, your performance of the mitzvah yishuv b'sukkah. Because as we're pointing out, we want to characterize your use of the sukkah as being a seven-day affair and no more. We want it to be different than the way you use your house all year long. We want to distinguish. That was the sukkah, this is the house. By bringing the kelim into the house, that's demarcating. That's setting up a line of demarcation. That's saying, Ad Kan was the mitzvah of sukkah. Now begins my regular use of my house. And so by bringing the kelim in, it enhances your mitzvah yishuv b'sukkah. It helps give expression to this idea that it's a seven-day affair and no more. That's going to be a second purpose in bringing the kelim in from the sukkah into the house. So there are two purposes in bringing the kelim. One purpose is, as the Mishnah spells out, to prepare for the second days. That's a kavod yontif. But there's a second purpose, which is not spelled out in the Mishnah. And that is when you bring the kelim in, that helps enhance retroactively your seven-day use of the sukkah. Because it's a line of demarcation. We're showing it doesn't go past 7 days. You did it for 7 days and that's it. We're back to living in the house. That enhances the Maisa Mitzvah of Yeshiva Basoka. Therefore, we're now going to say like this. When it comes to bringing the Kalim in on Shemini Atzeres, so we're now going to be able to permit you to bring the Kalim in. Because it's true. In terms of the first purpose, in terms of preparing for Simchas Torah, you can't do that on Shemini Atzeres. You're really not supposed to prepare for one day of Yom Tov to the next. In Eretz Yisrael, where you're doing this on Hoshana Rabbah, on day 7, there's no problem. But in Chutz La'aretz, where this is taking place on day 8, when Shemini Atzeres is bringing your kelim in, you can't prepare from one day to the next. That's not, if it were only for that reason, we would not let you bring the kelim in from the sukkah into the house. You can't prepare from one day to the next. Why then is the Gaos Ashri telling me to bring my kelim in on Shemini Atzeres and Chutz La'aretz? What about the Isra V'Achana? The answer is the second purpose. There's a second purpose in bringing in the kelim, and that is to retroactively enhance your performance of the mitzvah yishuv b'sukkah. When you bring the kelim in, it's not just for the future, it's also for the past. For the future is a problem. That's achana. You're not doing it for the future. You're doing it for the past and for the present. By bringing in the kelim, you're setting up a line of demarcation. You're saying that Ad Kan was my use of the sukkah. That helps characterize retroactively your use of the sukkah as having been a seven-day affair and no more. That's not achana. That's not for the future. That's for the past and for the present. To make sure that, to help complete your use of the mitzvah yishuv b'sukkah, we end it by saying, bring the kelim in right away to set up a line of demarcation. That's not an issue of achana. Once you bring the kelim in, now that they're in your house, okay, so now if you want to set the table, that's purely an issue of achana. You set the table in the house, that is purely an issue of achana. That's not going to be allowed, even though it might be a certain aspect of kavod yontif, it doesn't matter. We can't let you prepare from one day to the next. So that's why once the kelim are in the house, we're not going to let you set the table, because achana is asur, even if it's an issue of kavod yontif. But we're allowing you to bring the kelim from the sukkah into the house, because when you bring the kelim from the sukkah into the house, aside from preparing for Simchas Torah, which in and for itself we wouldn't let you do on Shemini Atzeres, it's serving a second purpose, which is a past purpose, to enhance the mitzvah yishuv b'sukkah retroactively. That's the yesod that we're bringing out from the sukkah here on Memches Amud Aleph. So just to recap, it's a little bit sophisticated here, that the Mishnah Memches Amud Aleph taught us this halacha, that on day 7, on Hoshana Rabbah, you bring your kelim in from the sukkah when you're done with the sukkah. And life's very simple. If it's on day 7, there are no problems with Bechal. There's no issue of preparing from Hoshana Rabbah to Yom Tov Sheni.
It's muted.
The issue becomes, what are you going to do in Chutz La'aretz? In Chutz La'aretz, we're using the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. What do we do? So the Hagadah Sashri says, do it on day 8.
Can Rebbe repeat it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
It paused for like 10 seconds.
Yeah, no problem.
Rebbe's muted.
Thank you. I wanted to do some hand motions and see how good our,
charades.
Okay. So one more time, just to recap one more time, it was a little bit complex here. So just to recap again, the Mishnah Memches Amud Aleph taught us a halacha that on day 7 in Eretz Yisrael, when you're done with the sukkah, we bring the kelim from the sukkah into the house. That's what the Mishnah tells us. And that is perfectly fine. There's no reason on day seven, on Hoshana Rabbah, Chol Moed, you can do whatever you want. You can drive a car. So you could certainly prepare for Hoshana Rabbah for the second days of Yantaf. And it's even a display of kavod. It's a way of honoring the second days by bringing in the kelim. The issue became in the Goas Hashri. The Goas Hashri, the Feres Yisrael, applied this halacha to day eight in Chutz Laaretz. They said that in Chutz Laaretz, you're going to do this in day eight on Shmini Atzeres. At the end of Shmini Atzeres, bring your kelim in to prepare for Simchas Torah on day nine. And the question became, well, what happened to the Isser of Hachana? You're not allowed to prepare from one day to the next. And the Goas Hashri goes on to say, don't set the table in the house because of Isser of Hachana. Well, if there's an Isser of Hachana, then how are you allowed to bring the kelim in from the sukkah into the house? So Savichik explained that there really are two purposes, there are two points of significance in bringing in the kelim from the sukkah into the house. The first purpose is a type of preparation for kavod yantav. When you bring the kelim in, that displays kavod for the second days, and that's one reason why you bring the kelim in. But there's a second reason that's behind the scenes, and that is that it's going to enhance your mitzvah yishuv b'sukkah. By bringing the kelim in when you're done with the sukkah, so that sets up a line of demarcation. We want to distinguish between your use of the sukkah and the way you use your house all year long. We don't want this to be viewed as a continuation of your use of the house. We want it to be clear that this was a seven-day affair and no more. By bringing in the kelim at the end of your use of the sukkah, that has significance. It helps enhance retroactively your use of the sukkah. That's not hachana. That's not preparing for the future. That's preparing for the past and the present, so to speak. You're enhancing the past and the present. That's why it's permitted on day eight to bring the kelim from the sukkah into the house. The hachana aspect, reason number one, would not be okay. Reason number two is why we let you do it, because it's having significance for the present and for the past. Once you bring the kelim in, you can't set the table, because then we finished with the mitzvah yishuv b'sukkah. That's purely hachana. That's purely preparation. That we're not going to let you do. So once the kelim are inside the house, you can't set the table, but we're going to let you bring them in, because that's not just having ramifications for the future. That's ramifications for the present and the past. That is the beautiful yisod that Rav Savichik said here on Mem Ches Amud Aleph to explain the sugya over here. Any other clarifications before we continue? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
How do we draw the line between saying that like something is being done in order to enhance the Yishuv HaSukkah, that it's like specifically for these 7 days, and draw the line with that between like trying to make your sukkah like your dira as much as possible throughout the year, like doing the same things and stuff?
Okay, so that is a phenomenal point. And that gets into the duality of the Ma'aseh Mitzvah Yishuv HaSukkah. So the truth of the matter is, we pointed in the past that there are really two aspects to the Ma'aseh Mitzvah Yishuv HaSukkah. On the one hand, for those 7 days, as Eli pointed out, we make it into a dira's kava, we make it into our house. On the other hand, we're now emphasizing that it should be for 7 days and no more, and don't go beyond 7 days. So there's really duality to the Ma'aseh Mitzvah. There's a keva component for the 7 days, we make it into our house. But beyond that, there's an arai component that we don't want more than 7 days, because we want to distinguish between the sukkah versus the house. And this is exactly the yesod we had when we were masber the conceptual machlokas about sukkah diras keva versus diras arai. So we pointed out, as Menachem hit that hesber, it was based on this exact tension that Eli's highlighting, that there's a tension in the Ma'aseh Mitzvah. In one aspect, it's a keva aspect. For 7 days, it's your house. On the other hand, there's an arai aspect. We're now emphasizing 7 days and no more. So there's a duality to the Ma'aseh Mitzvah. That's exactly why there's an ongoing debate whether sukkah is a diras keva or sukkah diras arai. So that's a very good point to bring out. But for our purposes now, we're highlighting just the arai aspect. We're just focusing on this yesod, that it's not just a practical point that the sukkah runs for 7 days. We're now saying that it characterizes the mitzvah. It characterizes a seven-day affair and no more. And one application is the Hagos Hashri. We're pointing out that the yesod of bringing in the kelim enhances that. It's meant to enhance that, to help set up a line of demarcation to bring out that it was a seven-day affair and no more. Okay, any other clarifications? Fine. So now let's go back to Rashi now. So based on this yesod, we're now going to use it to explain Rashi here on Chesam and Beis. So going back to Rashi and Chesam and Beis, Rashi said that the Pnimis is not going to be a good sukkah. This inner hut.
Right now.
Okay, sorry about that. I apologize. If it happens one more time, then I'll respectfully ask my wife to go off the internet, I guess. Fine. So going back to Rashi here on Chesam and Beis, the Hashgacha Pratis, it wasn't in the middle of a sentence. Back to Rashi and Chesam and Beis. So Rashi told us that the inner hut, this Pnimis, is not going to be a good sukkah. And Rashi gave a little bit of cryptic reason. Rashi said, because it's not discernible that you're using it for a sukkah, since he lives in it all year long. So it's not discernible. It's not nikar that he's using it for a sukkah. It looks like it's just a continuation of his use of his house, of this inner hut all year long to live in. And that's why it's no good. And we ask the question, where is this coming from? What's the makor for this new deficiency that Rashi is making up here, that it's not discernible that you're using this inner hut for a sukkah, and that's why it's no good? What's the makor for Shitas Rashi? So we're going to say like this, that Rashi is going to agree with the Ran that the issue is the psul bias, that the reason that this inner hut is not a good sukkah for sukkahs is because of the psul bias. It's on the books already. We have a psul bias that a house cannot be used as a sukkah, a structure that you used to live in cannot be used as a sukkah. And this Panemius, he lives in this hut for months on end, has the status of a bias. It's going to be puzzle. Rashi's going to agree with the Ran. He's not making up a new psul. This is the psul bias. But Rashi's going to give a different explanation than the Ran for why there is the psul bias. The Ran on approach one give a certain reason for the psul bias. Why is it that a bias is puzzle based on the shade issue, l'shem tzel? Rashi's going to be giving us a new explanation for why it is that a bias is puzzle. And this is based on this yisod that we brought out from Hagos Ashri. As we're emphasizing, we want the mitzvah sukkah to be a seven-day affair and no more. It has to appear and be characterized as a seven-day usage and no more. The way Rishavichik put it was a ma'isi yeshiva l'shivis emeachah. It has to be a ma'isi yeshiva l'shivis emeachah. Therefore, that is why a bias is going to be puzzled. Because a bias is an entity that no matter how much you try, it's not going to look like you're using sukkah for 7 days and no more. Since you use this 12 months of the year or 10 months of the year for an extended period of time beyond Sukkot, when you then use it on Sukkot, by definition, it can't look like you're using it for 7 days. We want the mitzvah shuba sukkah to be looked at, to be characterized as a seven-day affair and no more. Well, in a house, you can't do that. In a house, you're using it for months on end. When you know, 5 days before Sukkot, four days before Sukkot, and now all of Sukkot, you're using this to live in, it doesn't look like you're using it for 7 days. It looks like a continuation of all year long. That is why a bias is going to be puzzle. So the bias is the second application of this yisod, this need to characterize this, the Maisi Yeshiva as a seven-day affair. Aside from the Gos Ashri's application, another application is the psul bias. Rashi is going to hold that this is why we disqualify a bias. A bias is an entity that no matter how much you try, it doesn't look like you're using it for 7 days. It does not look like you're using it for 7 days because you used it 10 days ago and 20 days ago and for the whole year. And that's why bias is going to be puzzle. So that's the explanation we're giving here for Rashi here in approach two. And with that, we've concluded our first two approaches. So it's coming out that our first two approaches are all agreeing that the inner hut is going to be puzzle as a sukkah based on the psul bias. He's living in this inner hut. Therefore, it's puzzle as a sukkah. And that's the pashup shot in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Pnimius eina sukkah. Simple reading is that it's not a good sukkah for sukkahs. And we're just having a machlokis. What is the reason for the psul bias? Why do we disqualify a house? What's so bad about a house? The Ran is saying in approach one, the issue is the shade, that you need to put up the schach exclusively l'shem tzel to provide shade. By a house, you put up the roofing for 10 different reasons, so that doesn't satisfy l'shem tzel. Rashi is giving a different explanation. The reason a bias is disqualified, because a bias is an entity that doesn't allow you to do a ma'isi yeshiva for 7 days. It doesn't let you characterize your use of the sukkah as a 7-day affair no more. That's why we disqualify the use of a bias. Any questions?
Rebbe?
Yeah.
The clarification question, Rashi. Rashi brings like an implicit kasha because we hold like Beis Hillel by a sukkah yeshana.
Right.
So the difference between a sukkah yeshana and the psul of a tasev ilumenasui is that a sukkah yeshana was once put up l'shem tzel just a long time ago, right?
Correct. That is correct. We're going to mention someone today. We're going to discuss the sukkah yeshana. So we'll get there on Thursday. It's going to be a classic brisker shir. So if you don't know what it's like to learn in brisk, you heard of the brisker Derech Halim, and so Thursday shir, Mitzvah Shem will be right out of brisk.
Okay.
So we'll get there. Okay, any other clarification questions? Or stamkashas? Or you feel free to go try to upschlug us. We're on the same team here. We want to find Emes. Okay, fine. So let's go over now to our third approach, which is the Deya and the Ran, and the Ritva. The Ritva brings a third approach for how to explain the status of the Pnimis. And that is to say that actually it's going to be a perfectly fine sukkah. That if the pnimis, this inner hut, was built and it meets all the regulations for hilchos sukkah, you have kosher schach, you have good walls, you have good dimensions, there's going to be no problem using this as a sukkah. That is the suggestion of this Deya in the Ritva. How do you read the Gemara? The Gemara says pnimis in a sukkah. So the Ritva says like this, that if you look at the Gemara, so the Gemara says like this. Gemara says pnimis in a sukkah, b'chayev is b'mezuzah, that it's not a sukkah, and it's chayev b'mezuzah. Now, the simple way of reading the Gemara is that it's making two separate independent statements. Statement number one is that it's ain a sukkah, it's not a good sukkah for the mitzvah shiva sukkah. And a second statement, statement number two, chayavis b'mezozah is chayav in hilchas mezozah. That is the simple reading of this Gemara, which is how Rashi and the Ran were reading this Gemara. This third approach reads the Gemara differently. The Rav says in this Deya that it's not saying two statements, it's making one long statement. You read it, you know, read it quickly without taking a breath. It's the Pnimis is ain sukkah v'chayavis b'mezozah. It's not a type of hut that would be hotter for mezuzah. It's a hut that's going to be chayiv in mezuzah. Ain a sukkah v'chayavis b'mezozah. It's not a hut that's going to be hotter for mezuzah. Don't view it as a temporary hut. It's going to be chayiv in mezuzah. That's how you read the Gemara. So the Gemara is only discussing hilchas mezuzah. It's not discussing hilchas sukkah. It's just telling us that the inner hut is chayiv in mezuzah. It is not discussing the status of sukkah. It's not discussing its status as a sukkah. And now it's up in the air. The Gemara never said that it's not a good sukkah. And now we can say that really it is a good sukkah. So this day in the Ritva therefore concludes that really the Pnimis is a perfectly fine sukkah. It's not going to be pasul. The Gemara did not say that it's ain't a sukkah, meaning it's a pasul sukkah. It was talking about hilchas mezuzah. In terms of hilchas sukkah, it's up in the air. And says this day it's perfectly fine. It's a kasher sukkah. That is the Ritva's interpretation here of this Gemara. Now the question becomes, well, what happened to the psul bias? We just got through saying for the last 30 minutes or so that there's a psul bias. You cannot use a house as a sukkah. Well, this pnimis, this inner structure, he's using it to live in for months on end. Why is it not subject to the psul bias? That's the kasha here in the Ritva. So anyone want to say anything? Okay, so there's a metzias fact that I guess you kind of have to realize to answer this up. The Bach points out that there is one distinction between the inner hut here and a typical house, which this day is going to hold, is going to stop the psul bias from applying in this situation. Now, when it comes to a typical house, so the roofing of the house is typically made out of boards, out of nisarim. You take boards, you put them on your house, and you nail them in. That is typically how you make a roof. In our case, so the roofing of this pnimis, of this inner hut, is definitely not made out of boards. It's made out of typical schach. And the reason that's clear is because there's an issur derabanan to use a sukkah that has boards on it. This is a Mishnah on Yud Daled Amud Aleph in the Gemara there. You can't use a sukkah with boards. So our inner hut, clearly, if we're discussing in the Rishonim the possibility that it's a kosher sukkah, we're clearly discussing a scenario where it does not have boards on it. If the Ritva here in the third approach is telling me that it's a kosher sukkah, there definitely are no boards up above. It has to be regular schach, branches, leaves, whatever it is. It's not boards. So what we're pointing out from the Bach is that there's a distinction between a typical house and the case we're discussing. A typical house, the roofing has boards on it, as nesarim, whereas by us, the roofing has not boards, but it has regular schach. We're discussing regular schach up above, branches or leaves, etc. Based on that, so we're now going to say as follows, that this third approach, this third daya in the Ritva is going to hold that the reason the psul bias doesn't apply in this situation is because he's going to have a third conception of the psul bias, not like the Ran about the shade factor, not like Rashi about this Maisi Yeshiva for 7 days. The Ritva is going to have a third approach to the psul bias, and that is that the psul bias is a gzeiras hakasav that disqualifies something that has the structure of a house, something that has what we call a tsuras habayis, the form of a house. It's a formal gzeiras hakasav. It disqualifies using that which has the form of a house for a sukkah. Therefore, when it comes to a typical house that has boards on top, that has the tsura of a bias, that looks like a house, it has the form of a house, that will be disqualified as a sukkah. When it comes to this hut doesn't have a tsura sabayis. It doesn't look like a house. It doesn't have the form of a house because the roofing is not regular roofing. The roofing is made out of schach. It's true he lives in it all year round. In terms of how he uses it, he's using it like a house, but in terms of the structuring, the tsura, the form, it doesn't look like a house because the roofing is not boards. The roofing is made out of schach, and that's why it's not going to be subject to the psul bias. So that is the third approach now, the shita seritva, for how to explain what's the halach with this pnimius, with this inner hut, namely to say that it's perfectly kosher. It's not subject to the psul bias because the psul bias is only subject to something that has the tsura sabayis, has the form of a house. So I think we'll end here. We'll end this over here. So let's just recap. We'll end a few minutes early to make up for all those times that we went over time. So just to quickly summarize, we had the issue here became what's the status of this inner hut in terms of hilchas sukkah. The outer hut is perfectly fine. There's no reason why the chitzona can't be used. What about the pnimis? So we have three basic approaches. The Ranan approach one said that it's going to be pasul. based on the psul bias. He's living in it all year long. It's pasul. And the Ron explains what's the problem with the psul bias is the shade factor, that it's not exclusively put up l'shem sale, and that disqualifies the psul bias. The second approach is Shitas Rashi. Rashi gave us a cryptic approach that it's not nikar, it's not discernible using it as a sukkah. And we're trying to grapple with what's the problem with that? What's it rooted in? What's the source for that? So we went over the sukkah Naf Memches, where we brought out this yisod from the Goas Ashri, that the 7 days of sukkah is not just a coincidence, but it's supposed to characterize your use of the sukkah. We want to characterize it as a limited usage of the sukkah to distinguish between the sukkah versus the way you use your house all year long. That's why the Hagos Yashri lets you bring the kalim in from the sukkah into the house on Yontav, because it's not just to prepare for a simple Torah, it's also to have significance in the present and in the past to help enhance your use of the sukkah for 7 days. Based on that, we said that that's Rashi's pshat in the psul bias. The psul bias is about the fact that a bias is an entity that doesn't let you use it for 7 days. It doesn't look like you're using it for 7 days, and so it's deficient in this quality that Rashi wants. So that's approach number two in our sugya. And the third approach was the Shita of the Ritva, that really Pnimis is a perfectly fine sukkah. The Gemara is talking about Hilchos Mezuzah. It's not talking about Hilchos Sukkah. And we explain that according to this third approach, the psul bias has to be a different idea that is not going to apply to the Pnimis, and that it's not about the fact that you live there all year long. The psul bias is about the structuring, something that's structured like a house with the tsuras habayis, with the form of a house, that is subject to the psul bias. But in this situation, the Pnimis doesn't have the tsuras habayis, as the Bach pointed out. It has regular schach up on top. Therefore, it's perfectly fine. And so just to crunch the yesod and the sugya, we're having three approaches in the psul bias. The real significance of the sugya is that we have three approaches in the psul bias. Why can't he use a house as a sukkah? Three approaches. The Ron is saying because of the shade factor. Rashi is saying that this yesod about the maisi yeshiva for 7 days. And this third approach is saying because of its tsuras habayis, that it has to have a structuring of a house. That which is structuring the house is subject to the psul bias, is a formal gzeiras hakasav. But if it doesn't have the structuring of a house, then it's not going to be a problem. And the big nafkamina between these three approaches is our sugya right here. In our sugya, we have something that you're using to live in all year long, but there's no tsuras habayis. It doesn't look like a house, but you're living in it all year long. So the Ron and Rashi are saying that that's a problem of the psul bias, whereas the Deya and the Ritva is saying that it's not a problem of the psul bias. Okay, so any last questions before we conclude for today?
Yeah, Rebbe. Yeah. Can Rebbe just repeat this? How's the Ritva learning the Gemara? It's Enes Sukkah.
So you have to read it without taking your breath. It's Enes Sukkah v'chayavis v'mezuzah. It's not a sukkah that's potter for mezuzah, meaning it's not a hut, a temporary hut. We're going to see tomorrow that a mezuzah needs a permanent structure. Don't view it as a regular hut that's potter for mezuzah. Rather, it's chayav v'mezuzah. It's only discussing hilchos mezuzah. It's not discussing hilchos sukkah. Reparnas once pointed out that there's actually a diuk in the Rambam, that the Rambam is going like this third approach. Because if you look at the Ein Mishpat and you follow the Rambams on the sugi here, the Rambam only brings down our sugya in Hilchos Mezuzah. He doesn't bring it down in Hilchos Sukkah. So the question is, why not? Why not bring down the Hilchos Sukkah aspect to the sugya? So the Parnas pointed out that it's mashma that the Rambam learned like the Ritva, that this sugya is just discussing Hilchos Mezuzah. It's not discussing Hilchos Sukkah. So the Rambam never brought it down in Hilchos Sukkah because it's not talking about Hilchos Sukkah. It's talking about Hilchos Mezuzah. So that's just a diuk that the Rambam's working with this third approach also. Any last questions? Okay, so everyone have a wonderful, wonderful day. And we'll continue tomorrow. Take care.
By the way, Pini did the Makoros. I didn't do the bracket.
Either way, Yair gets a big shkayach in general. It makes the whole program. So thank you very much, Yair.